Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our study of the Epistle of Paul to the church at Ephesus. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. We've titled this two-part message, By Grace Through Faith Unto Good Works. We are very thankful for the support in prayer and the generous gifts sent to us to help us keep this ministry online and on the radio. We do not solicit support, but for nearly a decade, the Lord has seen fit to help us pay our bills on time every time, and we have no debt as a ministry. And we thoroughly enjoy your letters with questions, comments, and prayer requests. We want to read a letter that came from North Carolina and a sister named Carly. She says, Pastor Greg, I listened to your teachings on my little cell phone. By the grace of God, He guided me to your online teachings, and I'm so grateful for you and the saints there. I value your ministry and thank God for your solid KJV Bible teaching. I left the spiritually dark, hard ground of Portland, Maine 2.5 years ago after burying both parents, plus my husband of 20 years divorced me in 2009 after I became a born-again Bible-believing Christian, saved by the grace of God out of the heresy of Roman Catholicism at the age of 39. I'm 60 now, and I'm happy in happy fellowship at South Hills Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. I follow your teachings and 24/7 online radio sermons. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for this much needed and treasured ministry. By His grace alone, Sister Carly in North Carolina. And she quotes Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Thank you, Sister, for those kind words, and we certainly love to hear from folks who are able to find a good Bible-believing local church, because we hear from so many people who don't have that blessing, but to the wonderful testimony of being saved out of the Roman Catholic Church, great testimony. And all of our listeners and viewers can contact us by sending email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or by sending letters to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, the email address is 3Bs, BBB, the letter F, and the word Ohio, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or the P.O. Box is 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. We do want to mention that the first 20 minutes of this study is of a lower quality video due to technical difficulties, so we do want to apologize for any difficulties that presents. So now let's join our study with an opening word of prayer. Anyway, let's get into our study and we'll ask Brother Aaron, would you open the box of prayer?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here in church this morning, and what a privilege we have to have a Bible-believing church to really attend with you, and privilege it is to be in this country in spite of all the troubles that we see. It still affords us the freedom to assemble like we are this morning.
Amen.
I'm sure we thank you for the King James Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
Just so many copies all around us, and just a wonderful opportunity to read and to study it. Any time, that's a great privilege. Lord, this morning may you give us your fullness of your Holy Spirit, may your minds and hearts be open to the Word of God, may we just love the book and love Jesus Christ this morning, and please be with Brother Miller as he'll be teaching and preaching this morning. Just give him great ability to speak what you have him to teach this morning. I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Lord.
All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, we're covering verses 8 through 10. And we're titling this morning, By Grace Through Faith Unto Good Works.
Amen.
And I want to tell you right now, most of the brethren, and I'm talking Bible believers, professing Bible believers, just get it all screwed up.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you names, I'm not going to name names or anything, because if you can't really provide an example, naming the names doesn't help any. But there's a couple fellas just this week, and I heard them basically pronouncing who was saved and who wasn't, and it was basing it on whether or not you agreed with this doctrine or that doctrine. And it's nonsense.
Amen.
On the other hand, we have the curse of
soul winning in this country that is based on just getting somebody to say a little prayer. And if you do door-to-door at all, you will find that almost everybody's saved. Because they've all prayed with a preacher at some time. One, two, three, repeat after me. And so reaching people with the biblical gospel and seeing people saved is almost impossible in some areas. In other areas, they're so liberal and doused with evolutionary theory and everything that we talked earlier, you know, that they won't listen because they just don't believe anything. So we're going to get into some of that this morning. I'm going to lay it out and talk about what it really means to be saved by grace through faith unto good works. And a lot of Christians, because they make a lot of grace, which we do here, but they throw good works out the window completely. And that's not good, because the Bible doesn't do that.
Yes.
You have to chop off verses. You know, and I'm not criticizing, but almost always the quotation is Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I can understand that if you're discussing something particular, and so those two verses apply. But even sermons, they'll stop there at verse 9, and they won't even touch on verse 10, which is undeniably connected in a way that shouldn't disconnect. So we're going to read all three verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Begin with me, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen.
Amen.
And we've been studying verse by verse through Ephesians, and after having considered all of our spiritual blessings that we've talked about, you're adopted, you were chosen in Him unto adoption, not to be saved, but because you are saved. And all the other, being seated in heavenly places, if you missed all that, go online, get the messages. But in light of all that, we're now reminded that it's all by God's grace.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not anything any of us have earned. We talk about how mercy is God not giving you what you deserve, which would be eternal hell.
Right.
And grace is God giving you what you don't deserve, which is eternal life.
Amen.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I want to discuss the fact that that, I believe, is not talking about just salvation, but faith being the gift of God.
Oh, amen.
That produces salvation. And that's mistaught. And because of that, by the way, everybody thinks they have faith. And the question is, will you put it in the Lord? And that's not the case.
Yeah.
You don't have faith from birth.
Amen.
The only thing you was born with was a sinful nature.
All right.
And you have a brain and you have reasoning capabilities. But you were not born with faith, and now you carry it around wondering where you're going to put it. Now, on a daily practical level, you demonstrate a little bit of faith here and there. All of you have demonstrated a little bit of faith by sitting on those chairs and trusting they will hold you up.
Amen.
And they probably hold all of you up nice, you know, just fine. But, you know, you could get big enough where you could sit on those things and it would just go like wax. It could happen. But all of you came in confident that you were not going to crush that chair when you sat on it. So that's an example of faith, but that's not what we're talking about when it comes to biblical faith, when it comes to salvation. This idea of a blind faith is false. And we're not going to go into a message about faith itself today. We've done that on a number of occasions, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Biblical faith is not just a blind faith.
Amen.
In other words, you kind of had blind faith when you sat on that chair. None of you went online and looked up the model type and saw if there were tests done to, you know, make sure that they would hold up, fill in the blank, whatever your weight is, you know. And you didn't look for online reviews to make sure that no one had collapsed in that chair suddenly. And you just kind of said, oh, a nice looking chair, looks sturdy, plop. Right?
Amen.
Yeah, that's not the kind of faith we're talking about when it comes to salvation. As a matter of fact, a lot of these people who profess to be Christian, and I have to mention this as an example of this kind of thing, is this fellow named Trey Pearson, the lead singer to Everyday Sunday. And some of you have no idea what I just said, but it's Christian contemporary music is what they call it. I've said it ought to be called Catholic contemporary music because it's the radio stations and the publication and the producers are filled with Roman Catholics. But they're also filled with sodomites.
Yes.
And every few weeks we're seeing another so-called CCM artist, CCM group, where the lead singer or the other people in the group are coming out as sodomites. And this Everyday Sunday is one of the biggest groups who headlines these creation festivals and all these CCM festivals. And he come out and said, he's married, has two kids, he's 36 years old, I think. And he's now announced he's gay. And he's leaving his wife. You know how bad it is? It's so bad that his wife has told him that she's proud of him for being honest with himself. That's the state of American Christianity today.
Wow.
That, and they're all still professing Christians, and he claims, he even compares the peace that passeth all understanding to the peace that he has coming out of the closet.
Wow.
That's how gone.
Pro sin.
Amen. And that's why I'm telling you, and I'll repeat it over and over and over and over and over, that if you don't confront people when you're preaching the gospel with their sin, you're not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ died for our what?
Sins.
Sins.
Amen.
And so this gospel that's being preached today, I call it the gospel of Sodom. And it says, hey, if you'll just believe that Jesus died on the cross, buried, and was raised again, you'll be saved. You don't need to repent. That's works, which is a lie. But that's what they preach. And so you have all these people like, wow, I can love sin and love the world and get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and be saved. What a bargain. That's what they're saying. That's not what the Bible teaches. And what they'll do is they'll come to places like this and they'll say, for by grace are you saved through faith. It doesn't say anything about repentance, does it?
No.
We'll come back to that in just a minute. Even faith itself is a gift of God. So these people who claim to believe the gospel, there should be evidence that they are under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. How many of you understand? There's a perverted Calvinistic view of this, but there is a biblical view, and that is this. You cannot be saved unless God draws you. Do you understand that?
Amen.
And so when you're preaching the gospel, if you see no evidence that that person is under conviction, don't try to trick them into saying a prayer with you.
Amen.
You need to at least have some sense. You got the Spirit of God in you. Your spirit will bear witness that they are under conviction. And then you can lead them along the plan of salvation. And what we do today, what we're taught to do today, I don't do this. I'm not confessing here this morning. But there was a time where I was taught to do that. You don't care what anybody, you don't care anything, just get them to pray with you.
Yeah.
And then chalk it up. No. And that's what's produced what we've got today. Faith is a gift of God. We simply receive His Word and that produces faith.
Yep.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? I want to lay it on the line for you. If you have an idea about faith and it isn't that we simply receive His Word and that produces faith, you don't have a biblical view of faith. You have a human view of faith. And what we're here for is the biblical view. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody here a Bible believer?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Oh, you sure you didn't just have it there? Mm-hmm. You didn't carry this around all your life and say, oh, I've decided I'm going to believe. I've heard those kind of testimonies. People say, oh, I was living my life and I just felt lonely and I thought, I'm going to find the Lord. Now, sometimes they just explain it wrong. What they mean to say is the Lord came to them, put them under conviction, and now they were seeking the Lord. That's how it happened if they're truly saved.
Amen.
Every time, yep. Without exception.
Yep.
Romans 10:17 says this, read it. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let that sink in. You cannot have faith apart from the Word of God. You can see that there's creation. And you can say, wow, there's got to be a creator. But as far as having biblical faith and having faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot happen without the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. You don't produce faith.
Amen.
It's not like you're just low on a vitamin here and you need some eat, change your diet, and all of a sudden you're going to have faith.
That's right.
And it's not like if you read a good testimony from somebody else, by the way, or you hear a good gospel song. Listen, those can be an encouragement, but they will be an encouragement for what you already have. It's like you have something in you. You've already been saved. You already have faith in you, but sometimes something kind of has to bring that out of you. But that's not where the faith originates. Always scares me when I hear people say that, you know, they went to a song fest and got saved. Okay, if the guy stood up there and preached the gospel and you got saved, that's great. But a lot of times I hear these testimonies and there's no gospel preached. They just got emotional. There was a song, it made them emotional, and they go forward at an altar call or something. Because a lot of times these song fests I've been to, they'll have what they call an altar call, but it's just for people to come and pray and that kind of thing. They don't even preach the gospel. And then I'll hear people say that's when they were saved. Listen, if you did not at some point hear the gospel and believe, receive it as the Word of God, we're going to see in a second, you can't be saved because you don't produce faith. God's Word does. Let's read that verse again. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm repeating that, and every once in a while you're going to hear messages where I'm going to repeat this because I just know, I'm seeing it too much. People cannot just put their faith in the Word of God and believe what the Word of God says. It's not really your presentation. It's not how slick you are. You can read all the books about winning people to Christ. People give me those books all the time too. I've got a stack this tall. I mean, you know, and I've read a lot of them, but after a while, you start to read, and you're like, okay, it's the same old thing. You're just doing it. What? It's you know, some of it's practical. You know, you shouldn't have BO. Amen. Yeah. Put a breath mint in it, and don't knock them over with your coffee breath. You know, that's some practical tips in those books. You know, and you should look presentable. But that doesn't mean that if you're not presentable and there's an opportunity, you don't, well, I'd like to preach the gospel to you, but I don't have my dress shirt on.
Yeah,
it's not like that either. So there's some practical and common sense things in those books, but after you've read one or two of them, you know, you've read it. And I was led to believe 20-some years ago that if you have to have the right presentation, you have to the right pattern and right verses and points and do it just right, and then you have to, it's like selling a Kirby sweeper or something, and you would wait for the right time to go in for the sale.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just pressure. And then everybody, some of us just aren't natural born salesmen. I was made to make fun of salesmen, not to be one. Amen? I can make fun of them. You know, stick their foot in the door. Hey! I'm here to sell you this useless thing that you don't need, but I'm going to convince you you need it if you just let me in your house. That's the first step of sales right there. And one in a million, you'll say, well, I actually do need that. You know, but most of the time, it's, and I'm sitting there, I don't really, no, I don't, we're not, no, we're not, no, I don't want to waste your time. And that's a good salesman. He just interrupts and won't let you say no. But at some point, I get it in. And if not, I'm just like, bye. You know, that's how you end it. And that's how people will do when they don't want to hear the gospel, too. But some people are just too nice. And so they'll go along with everything you say just to get you to leave. And a lot of times the salesman, you can always cancel the order. You know, you can always call it. And that's what people do. They'll go along with it. And then when you leave, the first thing you do is call, I want to cancel an order. They just want to get rid of you. And that's what's happening with a lot of soul winning today. They just want to get the order in so you'll get out of their house. And they get back to watching that rated R movie. Or whatever they're spending their time doing. And sadly, a lot of Christians don't have the discernment to recognize that, or they just don't care and they just go along with it. And so that's the problem. They don't care that they're talking to somebody who really isn't demonstrating any evidence of faith. They're demonstrating evidence of wanting to get you out of the house. But if you will believe it, the Word of God, God's Word produces faith.
Amen.
And that's true after you're saved, by the way.
Amen.
Because when you're saved, you still will hear things that are hard to believe. And if you believe it, you'll see it produce fruit in your life. If not, your growth will be stunted. It's simple. It's all in how you receive it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the first part of the verse starts out by saying this. Paul is talking to saved people. And he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men.
Amen.
You get that?
Amen.
Sister Tracy was talking about this morning, someone saying, well, that book's just written by men. And you'll hear people say, the Bible's just written by a bunch of men. I'm sorry, but right there, you're dealing with the GameStop. They cannot be saved until they actually believe that the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And all your slick sales and everything else ain't going to mean a thing. Because the verse goes on to say that they received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Which, what's it do? Effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Amen.
Meaning that if you receive it as the Word of God, it works.
Amen.
If you do not, it does not.
Amen.
It's not because there's something wrong with the Word of God. It's because God is not a Calvinist.
Amen. Amen.
God is not going to irresistibly force you to believe. He has not unconditionally elected you.
Amen.
He is going to present the Word of God, and you must receive it as the Word of God. And I'm sorry, but that's how stupid and foolish Calvinism is. You read this verse, you turn the Word of God into a big fat lie. Paul is just saying that it wasn't because you were unconditionally elected. It was because you received the Word of God as the Word of God. When God's Word is received as God's Word, it works in you to produce what?
Faith.
Amen. If I had prizes, I'd give a few out. You all got it.
Yay.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and what? That, not of yourselves. Why? We just saw. The faith isn't of you. It's not yours. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. And the faith of Jesus Christ becomes yours when you receive the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why all these churches with all their programs are all wasting their time thinking that that's going to reach people. I'm telling you, all these churches with all these programs, and some of them spend hundreds of thousands of dollars each on programs to reach people. And they set up these groups during the week. One for homemakers and one for working women. And then one for people who are into golf. And then other people who are hunters. And then a lot of the men go to both. And it doesn't mean a thing. Why? Because that's not how you reach people. All you're going to do then is create a big YMCA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and spend a lot of money doing it. Wasting a lot of money doing it. Faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And what is not of yourselves
As I said, faith, it is the gift of God. Therefore, you cannot produce it your way. You have to produce it God's way. And the way to produce it God's way is to what? Preach the Word. Preaching the gospel. And then, throw this in free of charge right here. When they say no, or they say yes, that has nothing to do with you. You understand that? I'm telling you, when you stand before the Lord to be judged according to your works for rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, He is not going to judge you based on how many people got saved.
That's right.
He is going to judge based on your obedience to preach the gospel to every creature. And that means if you've preached the gospel to 1,000 and they all said no, Jesus isn't going to chew you out. He's going to look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because He never called you to save anybody. He called you to preach the gospel. Now, I believe that your heart, your attitude will matter. So, you know, you want to be doing this for His glory and preaching the gospel to, because you have a heart for the lost. But with that said, don't let the no's discourage you. Because God is watching the obedience, not the result of the lost person. That's between them and God. It is the gift of God. Faith is a free gift that then is providing salvation as a free gift of God. You see how that works? The Word is preached, and you receive it as the Word of God. It produces faith in you. And you believe the gospel, which then produces salvation. So it's all a gift. It has nothing to do with any of us. It has to do with God. The faith is a gift, which produces salvation, which is a gift. Do you follow?
Yes.
Word, comma, faith and salvation are all gifts. I put the comma in there real careful because there's this word faith movement, and I'm not talking anything to do with that. It's the name it and claim it. That, you know, I do confess. I have faith that that is going to be my house and my car. And that's baloney. That's word faith. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Word itself, the Word of God, faith that it produces, and salvation are all gifts. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The Holy Scriptures, this is written specifically to Timothy, but it's true of everyone. That if you have heard, whether it was from a child or not, when you heard the Holy Scriptures produced the faith, which then made you wise unto salvation. Amen. All rolled up in one nice little neat verse. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And one must repent of their unbelief. I want to go through this real quick. You can't be saved believing the gospel and being in unbelief. You have to repent. Amen?
Amen.
It's a fact. It's impossible to believe the gospel without repentance. It's true. You also repent of your nature. That's why you look at a person and say, "Do you admit you're a sinner?" Why? Because Christ died for what?
Sinner.
And it says our sins, both. There's places where it says He died for sinners. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says Christ died for our sins. So you have to repent of your deeds. For this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You see, I'll remind you of this. It's not just an intellectual thing where someone says, "I just can't believe the facts of the gospel." No, it's a heart thing. I refuse to submit my opinion. I refuse to submit my life. I refuse to submit all.